those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So, Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things, and she pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
So I don't know if we can turn the screen off, or is that too much to ask? I was trying to get it as dark as possible tonight. Hopefully nobody's too scared out there. I was a little bit worried about the kids, and especially our youngest. But I want to do a bit for the effect, to be honest with you. I want to do it a bit because of the Christmas season. At least in our part of the world, it is a season of darkness. So we just had what I would call the darkest day of the year a few days ago. And the darkness also makes me think about that night when the angels came. And I don't think any one of us realizes how dark it was that night, right? Because there are no street lights, there are no house lights, there are no car lights. It's just the starlight and maybe a little fire. And I also wanted to have it dark tonight because this is one way for us to think about the Christmas story. If you were here yesterday here at Nelson Avenue, we talked about the image of poverty and riches. Jesus became poor that we might become rich. Another way of telling the Christmas story or the gospel story or the Jesus story is to say that Jesus, who was the light of the world, came into the darkness. So Jesus was, what shall we say? He was like a candle. Can we say that tonight? He was like a candle coming in to the darkness. That's one way for us to think about the Christmas story. And this is what John says in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, that Jesus, the one through whom the world and the universe was made, was the one who was like light coming into a dark place. And there really is no story like the Christmas story. Somebody was sharing with me recently that we could not make up the Christmas story. The stories we make up, I would suggest, are always stories about religion, which is like the story of Santa Claus. Right? Santa Claus is a story of religion. Have you been naughty or nice? Anybody want to say? If you've been naughty, you get nothing. Or maybe something bad. I don't know the story well enough, I guess. If you're nice, maybe you should tell me what you get. I don't know. I assume it's presents. Well, you get something good. Right? That's religion. If you're good, you get something good. If you're bad, you get something bad. But Jesus is not religion. The story of Jesus coming is the story of the gospel or the story of the grace of God. Jesus comes into the darkness. There is nobody with light in that darkness. But he comes as the light into the darkness. And tonight, I just want to pick up a couple of details from the story that we read at the very beginning of the service, Luke chapter 2. Some of us have heard this story many times. It's got so many great aspects to it. But the two things I want to pick up tonight is the beginning of the story, which is Luke telling us it was a time of Caesar Augustus. So Caesar Augustus was a real person, lived in real time and space, was really the most important person of the Roman Empire, of that known world at the time, and he was making a plan for the whole world. He wanted to have the whole world counted. So the emperor, or Caesar, concocted this plan. And then at the same time, another plan was being made. And it was the plan that God, we might call him the emperor of the emperors, or the king of all the kings, he was also making a plan. And that plan was centered in a little town called Bethlehem. And here at Nelson Avenue, I've tried hard the last few weeks to tell us and to show us how little and puny and insignificant Bethlehem really was, how small it really was. But God used this small little place, very insignificant town, to bring his own plan. Also a plan for the world, because the angels say, this is good news for all the people, which is all the people in Bethlehem. That's where the shepherds go. I think it's also all the people of Israel, all the Jewish people, but it's also all the people you can think of. It's good news for the world, and I say that because this is the message of the Bible. The Bible begins in the very beginning with a God who creates the whole world, and then a little while later chooses a man named Abram and says, I want to bless the whole world, or all the peoples, all the nations through you. And then this gospel writer named Luke, who tells us the Christmas story, he's actually not a Jew. Right? He is what they call a Gentile. He's outside of the Jewish faith or the Jewish people, but he knows what it's like to believe in this Jewish rabbi, Jesus the Messiah. And so he knows what it's like that the peoples have been reached, because he was one of those peoples outside the Jewish faith. And then also the Jesus story as it goes along is a story for the nations, for the peoples. Never only for Bethlehem, never only for Israel or the Jewish people, but always from the very beginning, a message and a story and a gospel and good news and a baby for the world. And so tonight I want to call us into that. I want to call us to believe that, to receive that for ourselves, but also receive that for others. So we've just a few moments ago been invited to not just Bethlehem to us, but also us to other people. not just Bethlehem to the world and we're receiving, but also we as receivers sharing it again or telling it again. And tonight I want to invite us to respond to that. And I'm going to ask a few questions. And if you sense tonight that you're saying yes to the questions I'm asking you, then I'm going to invite you to stand with your candle and come here and gather around this table in the front. So this is not meant to be a ploy of some kind. It's my conviction that when we talk about the Christmas story and we're talking about Jesus and we're talking about this good news and we're talking about the truths and the mysteries of the Bible, I believe God and Jesus and the Spirit are always working. That the Father and the Son and the Spirit are always working among those who are listening in different ways, in mysterious ways. So in a few moments, as I start asking a few questions, I know that Jesus, by his Spirit, will start prompting some of us or speaking to some of us. And if you say, oh yeah, I think Jesus is speaking to me, then I want to invite you to come and take your candle and come and gather here at the front table. And then we're going to pray and I'll give you the next directions or instructions. So tonight, if you're someone who says, yes, I feel a longing or a willingness or a wantingness to share this message with other people, I want to invite you to come and stand here at the front table with your candle. If you're someone who says, I want to share this message with people that are of my, let's say, my cultural background, whether you're coming from the country of Brazil or the country of South Sudan or the country of Finland or the country of the Netherlands or the country of Taiwan or China or the Philippines, and you say, there are people of my ethnic background, whether they live here or whether they're in that country, I would like to share this gospel with, this message with. If there are people in your family or in your neighborhood, or if there are friends that you have and you're not really even sure how you're going to share the message, because maybe you've tried, but people have not been receptive, I want to invite you to come. Even as someone who says, Lord, I'm open, or I'm willing. I don't know how it's going to happen, oh God, but I'm willing to share. I want to invite you to come. I believe that whenever we open up our lives or open up our hearts and we say, Lord, I'm willing, God will use us in some way. He will give us opportunity. For those of us who say, I'd love to share this with someone in my school or someone in my work, I would love to find a way of sharing this with my spouse or a child or my neighbor or someone I've not mentioned tonight, I want to invite you to come and join us here around this table. And if you're saying, you know, he's mentioning a lot of people, but he hasn't mentioned the person I'm thinking about, I want to invite you to come and just gather here with us. And then I'm going to pray. And whoever you're thinking about this morning, whether it's a group of people, or this evening, this group of people, or a certain person, or a family, or whatever it is, I'm going to pray that God would give us opportunity to share in some way, whether it's verbally or through a deed that we do or a song we're singing or some way that we can share of this birth, share of the coming of Jesus into the world. So let me pray, and then we're going to light our candles together. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, Spirit of the living God, You know our hearts better than we know our hearts. You know, Lord, how this story has touched us, so many of us, and how we would love to touch other people. Lord, not with what we have done, but with what you have done for us and for the world. And so, Lord, come now. And for those of us who come willing and wanting but have no idea how you could use us to share this message, we ask that you would give us ideas. Prompt us tonight, tomorrow, this week. Lord, give us ideas, give us courage, give us strength, give us conviction, that tonight would not just be a coming forward and lighting candles, but it would really be a commitment to you, even a resolution. Lord, a sacred resolution that we bring ourselves willingly forward, and as we do, Lord, you will strengthen us and you will give us ability and courage and boldness and humility to bring the gospel and the message from Bethlehem here and now, Lord, from here to other places in our neighborhoods, in this city, in other cities, Lord, other places. So in a few moments, Lord, as we light our candles, we pray, Lord, you would use that symbol and you would send us as lights into the world. Send us as lights into the lives of others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.